My name is Ashley, and this is Let's Talk Dispatch.
I do. You're gonna do it. Do it really well.
And I believe the world needs more dispatchers.
Around in the mud, blood,
plus
beer.
Years that I'm not working 4th of July. 4th of July.
Say community policing, right? What about community dispatching?
So on this show, with the help of my guests, we will educate, empower, and support the heroes behind the headset. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode here of Let's Talk Dispatch with me, Ashley, the Raspy Dispatcher. Today, well, it's a two-for-one special. Thanks to Nina, the 911 Association. My guest today, Katie, who is the EPRC PSAP Program Manager, as well as Stacy, who is the EPRC Commercial Program Manager. And we worked really hard before this episode so I could get those titles correct. And we're going to talk more about what they are, what they mean throughout the episode. But these two wonderful ladies have over 40 plus years experience in the PSAP world. And Stacy is familiar if you folks have been watching Let's Talk Dispatch from the very beginning. One of my very first episodes of this podcast featured Stacy. So thank you so much, Stacy. I'm excited to bring them on for you folks, talk about their journeys, and talk about an awesome new service that Nina provides to dispatch centers across the state. I know it's awesome because I've used it. So let's bring them on. Hi, Katie. Hi, Stacy. How are you guys?
Hey, Ashley.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Like I told them before, we worked really hard to get your guys' titles correct with all the acronyms. It's so good to have you both on. And Stacy, as I said before, you were one of the original episodes of Let's Talk Dispatch.
And I was a guinea pig.
And look at us now. Look how far we've come.
I know. You're a celebrity now.
Oh, stop it.
It's true. You are.
Oh my gosh, you guys. This is the real reason I do this show, just so I can get you know, compliments. Well, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your journeys in, you know, 911, how you got here. Katie, if you want to start us off.
Sure. Yeah. So, well, I work for Nina now, almost a year. It'll be a year in April. But before that, I spent 16 years in the PSAP. I started my career in Grand Junction, Colorado back in 2007. Mm-hmm. I spent about 3.5 years there before coming home to West Michigan, where I worked at Kent County Sheriff's Office in the Grand Rapids metro area for the last 13 years. Mm-hmm. So I've, you know, done all the things. Dispatcher, we were in Grand Junction, the inaugural incident dispatch team that they had out there, CTO, I've done policy review, shift supervisor, supervisor of a training program. So I'll touch a lot of the pieces in the PSAP, but really excited to be doing what I'm doing now because I still feel like we get to help dispatchers do their jobs better, but from a distance and kind of get to do more of a widespread kind of approach.
Awesome. Very cool. Stacy?
Yeah, so I started in 97, way back on cards before my agency didn't even have CAD when I started. Like, that's crazy, right? Your listeners are probably like, no, thank you. No,
like,
thank
I don't, you. Half the time I can't even find a pen or a pencil in my center. Like, I couldn't imagine.
Right. Yeah. When we got our first CAD, I was like, there's no way I can write, type into a computer faster than I can, you know, write up 3 cards for police, fire, medical. But so started in 97. I did almost 24 years in the PSAP. Christmas Day of 2020, graveyard was my very last shift. I left. I know, but how I worked Christmas, right? Yeah. I mean, I could have made Christmas Eve my last day, but worked Christmas.
Your people appreciate you for sure.
I love them. Yeah, the people is the best part. But I left, went and worked for a couple vendors, as you know, and then I came over to Nina just at the beginning of this year. So kind of cool journey of, I also think, like, for listeners to, like, Katie's story and my story, seeing that, like, there's these other options that the PSAP can lead you to, but you're still, like Katie said, contributing to the mission. So yeah,
awesome. I do love that. I mean, one thing, obviously, you know, the world needs more dispatchers, of course, but there is life after dispatch, and we want to talk about that and highlight that as well. And that's one of the awesome parts about this podcast is it shows people the options out there, the organizations to look for careers they might not have thought to check that job board, you know?
Yeah. And I think I think that a lot of times, like, you want to contribute so much, right? And so you think that being a dispatcher is the only way to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Katie, you said it perfectly. I feel like it can be part of the mission and help in a different way. So if that is where your heart lies, it's not like you just have, if that becomes not an option for you, you have this other area where you're still part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's still true. And, you know, we need to empower our people to take care of themselves. And when this isn't for you anymore, like, that's okay to move on and find something different and find something that still speaks to, you know, your why and your mission and the things that you want to do to support this very specific community. And you folks at Nina are certainly doing some awesome things. Katie, what was it like for you in the beginning, you know, getting into the dispatch world?
So I was very, very young. And I remember through the hiring process, I'm sure we all had to do this where we did sit-alongs. I remember sitting there like pre-hire thinking, I had no idea. Like, I had no idea that this stuff really happened. I was 20 years old when I started dispatching. And, I feel like the hiring process, it takes a long time. It was like 3-4 months. And actually, so I'm, like I had mentioned, I'm from West Michigan and I moved to Western Colorado, and my very first day as an employee was my very first day living in that county.
Oh, wow.
So talk about coming in and not knowing anything. Like, I barely knew how to get to my house. It was a very steep learning curve. When you're young, I feel like, I don't know that I could do it now, but I feel like you just absorb information completely different and you could just pick up on things. And, I don't know, I guess I never found it to be like, I couldn't do it. Like, I never had this thought, like, this isn't for me. I just always like just did it. And I thought of things differently, and I just always loved it. Like, I just always felt like this is something I'm good at and this is something I can do. I mean, not to say that I wasn't stressed out or it wasn't overwhelming. I do remember one of the final days of my police dispatch training, I went home, and I'm sure you guys had the same experience, but I went home and my whole body just ached because I had sat there for 10 hours straight. And then when I knew that I was ready to go in and do it on my own, I just sat down and I just did it. And I was relaxed. And I just answered before my trainer could tell me to answer. And I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I'm ready, you know? But it was, I don't know. It was hard. I mean, it's coming into a dispatch environment, I think we can all agree, is a little like, intimidating, I think, is the right word, because you have so many strong personalities and strong people, and coming in as a newbie, whether you're 20 years old or you're 35 years old, that can be really intimidating.
Yeah, no, it really, really is. And one thing that I post about with this job is like, you don't need an education. You don't need to go get a degree to do this job.
Right.
Most places don't necessarily have an age requirement. It is something most places for the dispatch role can come out of high school and do. Mm-hmm. And for someone who did it pretty young, I would say 18 to 20 is kind of like it lumped together in life experience, that age group.
For sure.
I've had a lot of people comment on, you know, my reels and stuff. Like, I don't want to hire 18-year-olds. They're too young. They don't have enough life experience. I don't agree with that sentiment.
I would agree with you, and I disagree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say for folks who are feeling that way about hiring younger people as someone who, you know, got into it at that kind of age group that some people don't agree with doing this?
So I think that we don't know what kind of experience people have. We don't know what kind of life experience they bring. I can tell you as a 20-year-old, I came from a background in the childhood that I grew up in that I may have been green to all of the things that happen out in the world all the time, mm-hmm. but I was not new to dealing with hardship and dealing with intense situations and dealing with stressful situations that probably most people, sometimes even in their 30s and 40s, may have never faced in their entire life. So mm-hmm. like I was built for pressure. I think it's unfair. we're like kind of cutting ourselves off at the knees if we're saying, well, we're not even going to give them a chance because they're young. Because your best employees might be a high schooler that you hired. In fact, at the sheriff's department that I came from, we hired a girl fresh out of high school. They had a really cool like technical program. It's like a job prep program where it's like
a those are becoming more popular.
And they would bring dispatchers or high schoolers through our dispatch for like an internship, if you will, while they were still in high school. We ended up hiring a girl and she was one of the best dispatchers we had. So I think you're limiting yourself if you're excluding an entire group.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey.
And I was just going to say, I would just add, that's where like mentorship comes into, right? Because I know that sometimes in dispatch, you feel stuck when you have been there a while, mm-hmm. right? Like what a great opportunity if you're feeling like, maybe you don't want to promote or maybe there's not a promotional opportunity. Like that Kitty said, they hired that young girl. What a great opportunity for one of the more senior dispatchers to experience like the sense of fulfillment that like being in, like it gives, I'm getting goosebumps, you guys, like legit. But that being a mentor does, because I think that we talk a lot about mentorship, but we talk a lot about it. It's sometimes we need to put it into practice a bit more than we're just talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's, so I think that I also think that there's a fresh perspective that younger generations bring that's completely different. And we can't like generalize, like Katie that's said, her experience in life just because she was 20 didn't determine, you know, how she viewed things and everything like that. So I just think that there's some missed opportunities if we're not. Mm-hmm. Plus, let's talk staffing, right? I mean,
that's going to be my next point. And
if we're talking about a staffing crisis and we're not talking about it exists, I don't mean it that we're just talking about it, but like there's a staffing crisis. So if we have people that are eager, that want to contribute, that meet the requirements, I mean, if the age is the only disqualifier, that just seems like a little crazy to me that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was 23, so I was a little bit older, mm-hmm. but that's still some people consider plenty young, right?
So
I just think that maybe like flip the script a little bit, look at it differently. Oh, for sure.
Before we continue, we wanted to take a moment to thank our partners at Prepared. You can learn more about the awesome support and technology Prepared provides to first responders by heading to prepared911.com. Partners like Prepared help to continue our mission of supporting, empowering, and educating the heroes under the headset. You can learn more about our resources and partnerships by heading to theraspydispatcher.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To your point, Stacey, about mentorship, you know, we talk about like the toxicity a lot in dispatch environments. Like this is where leadership roles come into play where, you know, if you do have a young person, maybe as a leader, whether you're an official leader or unofficial leader, you bring them up and you encourage of your staff to bring them up. And if it's your staff that's the problem with the young person, then that's also a leadership issue that needs to be addressed, in reverse.
100%, right? Because I know, I mean, and maybe it's different where you guys worked, but I know a lot of times those trainees, you know, they're, like you said, Katie, it's a tough environment to come into. Mm-hmm. So those trainees are a lot of times we want them there. We're like, yes, we got some new hires. Hopefully that means less overtime. And then we treat them poorly. Like if you, I don't want to stay anywhere where I'm treated poorly.
Right.
But when I was 23, I was like, okay, I I guess when they hold up the card and say, who's 876 and yell it across the room, I just say me and don't make that mistake again. Uh-huh. You know, so I think it's just a weird thing that happens, you know. These are literally the people we should be embracing and like loving on, and we treat them poorly, and then they don't want to work there, and then we complain about overtime. You can't have it both ways.
Well, a lot of times these young folks are the ones that come in and they're like, I want to work as much overtime as I can. Like,
yeah, I was that silly person when I first started. But, you know, and the thing about, like, you know, the toxic dispatch center is they're alive and well. I mean, last week I got a message from someone who, in training, and they were like, is it normal that my trainer doesn't talk to me at all? You know, and it's just like, no, it's not normal. And I'm sorry that this is your experience. And, you know, you empower people to, you know, find a person that they feel comfortable communicating to. But, like, also they're on probation. They're trying not to get released. They're trying to, you know, not make waves, and you know, sometimes we do have to make waves in order to make things better, but I say that from a place where I'm not on probation, you know, so right. I acknowledge that safety that I have, and trainees don't, and we shouldn't make them feel like they need to reach out to a stranger on the internet to ask if how I'm being treated is right or wrong.
Well, and the fact that they ask that question at all, right, tells you that they've probably seen that behavior. And so for them to say, is that normal? You know, they're not sure, because maybe it is the norm where they, where they're working.
Folks, it shouldn't be.
Okay, whether it's normal, it should be normal or not quite.
I mean, like, we're all grown adults doing a job. Like, I don't want to be disrespected, like, period, you know, and I want to do well, you know.
And that's a really good point too, Ashley, because you want to do well, but you also want your coworker to do well. And if you're the trainer, that's on you.
A 1,000%. So Stacy, you, like you mentioned, and I'm sure we went over in the first episode, this is a long time since then. So you went from carts, which just anxiety, because that means our cat isn't working. To the CAD world, to a extreme understanding of tech in this line of work. What does that all look like for you, looking back on like what was then and what is now?
Yeah, so it's crazy, right? Because when you talk about the tech, it's behind for so long, and now it's like every week, right? There's a new vendor or a new product. And I think that just what I've seen, like kind of seen both sides of it, because it definitely gives you a different perspective, is I think the change management is the hardest part of the new technology. You know, I think from the PSAP side and the vendor community, like change management is like, it's just where it's at, right? You know, when I worked at one of my previous roles and I was doing CAD training, like that was my first role outside of the PSAP, traveled every week, went to PSAPs, did CAD training. Who wants to attend CAD training? Raise your hand. No one, right? So I would go into a room of dispatchers that were like on overtime, had worked graveyard, having to hold over, all that stuff, right? And there may be no perfect way to do it, but it was, and this isn't like, this is just somehow the reality, right? But like, we almost have to kind of think of like how we're introducing new material and like, you know, switching it up. I mean, when I had dispatchers in my classes that were on graveyard, I'd be like, okay, listen, like I get it. And that did resonate with them, right? Yeah. I think like for Katie and I both, when talking to PSAPs, I think it really resonates that we both know what they're dealing with. You know, when we have calls and you know, they're like, oh, sorry, I had to do this. And we're like, no problem. Like, you literally could hang up with us right now and we'd understand if you have. So I think that, I mean, it's just, there's so much out there. And I think it's hard to figure out what you need and what's the same, you know, like if you already are using a piece of tech and like there's a new solution out there, but it's the same. It's giving you the same results, but also embracing, you know, we hear all the time and we hear this, like when Katie dives into what we offer about the EPRC is a lot of times, oh, it's a separate sign-on, it's a separate sign-on, right? Because I know, and I will just say, like, her and I get it. Like, we've been there signing into 8 different things when you, you know, shift change and users. But I always try to put a different spin on it, but like from sitting in the chair of, I just wanted to have, I mean, if you told me I had to use like 15 tools, I'm not like, yay, 15 tools. But if like by using 15 instead of 14, if that's going to make a difference on one call, like, isn't that why we're here? Like, that's our job, right? Like, that's our job to, that's just kind of how I look at it.
Yeah.
Every job, I'm sure a construction worker maybe has 15 tools when he'd rather carry 5. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I just think that, yeah, so the tech is crazy. I just, but there's a lot of really cool stuff out there. You know, we're, you know, vendor neutral here at Nina. But I think that there's a lot of cool stuff. And I think that one of the biggest things with tech is becoming not phone calls, right? Like, we are seeing more and more devices, texting, all that kind of stuff, which I think is kind of flipping the script. But you think about it, my son, my baby, is 21. And Katie has 2 girls that are younger. And I'm sure, tell me if I'm wrong, Katie, but like their generation, so they're a little bit different generations, right? But I know my son, he just expects to be able to communicate without making a phone call. Like,
oh yeah,
we do talk on the phone, but like that, we have to realize that, like, in 911, like, who we're serving is changing. You know what I mean? That generation of, I'm going to grab my phone and report that my car was broken into. Like, there's an the expectation of the service that 911 provides is changing. So I think we have to embrace that.
You know, that's a really good point. I mean, what do you mean I have to call on the phone to order? Like, I'm not doing that. I spend all day on the phone. I don't want to talk to you on the phone to place an order. Just such simple things. Like, that's what my fiance does. That's her, part of her duties in our relationship is if it requires a phone call, she does it for me.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, you're right. We are definitely moving to a place where we want the online chat. We want the online correspondence, you know?
And like, think of what that can do for staffing issues too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if, yeah. I mean, just, I know it's not 911, but I'm sure all of us are, you know, looking at Instagram and sending a text and, you know, maybe like, you know, chatting with somebody on WhatsApp at the same time. Like, we're all doing that just in our personal lives. So, and for, I think mobile dispatching, right? I think that's where a lot of that can come into play too. So totally off topic tangent.
But. No, we like tangents here at the Raspy Dispatcher. It always sparks something. And Katie, what do you think about all the new tech that's been coming out, you know, since you started in your 20s?
Well, everything has changed, really. I mean, the CAD system, I didn't start on cards, but I started on CAD. And, you know, the first CAD that I used was, you know, PrintTrack, which is like a Jurassic version of, you know, modern the CAD system. And then when I moved, you know, across the country, we were using like I think it was like a DOS-based CAD.
DOS-based.
It was like, we went backwards in technology. And I was like, I don't understand. And then we had to sit there and we had to refresh constantly. We had to refresh our pending queue to see the new calls. Like, it didn't completely refresh. So like, technology is completely different and changing. And I think the idea, you're talking staffing and mobile dispatching, remote dispatching, these ideas of remote dispatchers being able to work from their home, like, that's a game changer.
Yeah, and it scares me. I'm not going to lie.
I think before I had become a remote worker, it probably would have scared me too. But I can tell you that I am 200 times more productive at home than I ever was in the dispatch center.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So, I love the idea of remote, like the idea of it, But then I think about like a hot 911 call coming in and just being able to mute and yell to the masses. And I'm like, okay, they heard me. We're going like doing that right in my room and no one's here. I'm like, oh,
and
well. Yes to that. But what do you think that they do in these massive 911 centers, like in LA or New York or
even on the computer? Yeah.
Like, are they going to yell across? They're doing the same thing. They're sending messages. So
yeah.
And I think it's all in like, I think the people I've talked to or like sessions I've seen at conferences talking about it, they have like certain parameters. Because one of my big questions about the remote dispatching, right, I think this is near to all of our hearts, is the wellness part, similar to what you're saying, right? If I take a tough call, now obviously there's those small centers where you're the only person, sure, even when you're in the PSAP, right?
Yeah. But like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I take a tough call, like where I worked, you know, we're all in the same room, like what we're just talking about. And mm-hmm. I know my supervisor, or as a supervisor, when my dispatcher takes a call, I'm going over there checking on them. So that was one of my biggest questions. And somebody that had presented about the remote dispatching said they have like triggers and stuff set up. So like if you know, Katie, if you were dispatching at home and like whatever the call was you routed, like triggers like that, right? Like based on the call for service, that would trigger you, Ashley, like in the PSAP, like to reach out to Katie to. Mm-hmm. So there's like,
very cool.
I don't know how well it's done, but it can be done. So I think that's cool too, like different ways of using that technology.
Yeah, no, I like it. I love tech. I love new stuff, which is what we're here to talk about. You folks are spearheading this EPRC with Nina. I'm sure there's other folks involved, but you know, you guys are working with PSAPs and non-PSAPs. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about this new tool that's available to us.
So it's really cool because it's new, but it's also not new. Mm-hmm. So Nina has maintained a PSAP registry for like 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And it's all been in what they would call a tabular, like a spreadsheet type of format. So it's always been reliant on PSAPs offering their information, right? So just providing it. They've never had anyone until Stacy and I really on staff doing active outreach and saying, okay, we need this information updated. If people are going to use this, if people are going to, you know, make this their source of information, it's got to be right. The information is only as good as it is updated. It's only as good as it is valid. So they brought Stacy and I on. My role as the PSAP program manager is I work with the PSAPs and the 911 authorities to help with integration, adoption, utilization, training. It's so exciting to me when I get on a call with a PSAP. I'm like, one of the things I always say is, okay, tell me how familiar you are with the EPRC, like when you intro it. So many of them, most of them say, I've never heard of it. And I'm like, great. That's a great place to start. Because I'll tell you, I honestly didn't even really know what it was prior to coming on staff here. And when they showed me, I was like, where has this been? Why didn't I know about this? It's exciting for me to be able to share something so valuable and so important with PSAPs, because it's like, I've said this before about other things, but this is, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. To be able to quickly look up the contact information for a PSAP anywhere in the United States, you can look up by a civic address, a common name location, like a point of interest or a business, longitude, latitude, which is like one of my personal favorites, because how many times are we pinging cell phones, folks? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're also adding in starting on Monday, which will be the 18th. I don't know when this is going to be broadcast. We're going to add the ability to search by what three words, which is becoming more and more popular in the United States. Mm-hmm. So you can look up all of this information. It'll provide you the contact information with the PSAP that serves at that address, a 10-digit number to transfer your caller to, and a lot of other information that may become valuable to you. I'll let Stacy talk about more of like the non-PSAP side and why people may need to access the EPRC that weren't a PSAP.
And before we dive into that, one thing, you know, just for the education piece for folks who are not in 911 who are listening to this, which they may or may not be aware of, is when you dial 911, you're going to hit your local agency's tower. So if your mom calls, which this happens, I would say, pretty often in our center, your mom calls, she's not feeling good, she's in Colorado, you're in California, you know, she needs an ambulance. You guys hang up and you say, I'll call the ambulance for you. And you dial 911, mm-hmm. you're getting California services. Right. And the issue with that is we're not all connected, right? We're not all, I'm not able to just go, oh, Colorado. Yeah. We're going to send you right over to them. You know, that's not the reality. We're not that intertwined. One day, maybe, hopefully. But at this point, we're not all connected like that. Especially in law enforcement. I mean, there's plenty of cases and where the communication is rough between agencies, right?
Right.
So when you dial 911, trying to get services in another state, you're going to hit that local tower. And I want to tell, we have no clue who to call, you know, who services, you know, my agency, we only dispatch law enforcement. So, you know, if you're needing ambulance in this agency and their PSAP only just, you know, so finding out who to call quickly because your mom is having a medical emergency mm-hmm. is needed for the dispatchers because we want it to happen quickly. You
sure.
want it to happen quickly because it's your loved one, but there is a gap that this service is helping close because we're able to locate the correct places to transfer folks to.
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly. That's the example Katie and I always give when we're talking to people is, you know, her and I are on the phone. She's in Michigan. I'm in California. And, you know, I start having a medical problem. She can tell, you know, maybe I start having a stroke. She can tell by my slurred speech. And I think that when we talk about 911, you know, the public's expectation is I call 911 and I get help. And that's really all they should, that's all they're required to know. They shouldn't have to have an education in 911. We're here to help them and we need to know what to do. And I think, so to date myself, right? I mean, I already said I started in 97, but you know, we used to look up that crazy, we'd have to like search by ORIs and you know, all that stuff and like yeah. this really convoluted system and search by city and state. When you get like 10 ORIs, you got to pick the one. And then it was an outdated number. And, you know, then once we got like, could have the internet and dispatch, then you Google it, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's what we did.
Yeah. And, oh, let me Google that for you for sure. Yeah.
And I mean, that was the easiest way. So I think it's so valuable. I remember learning about the EPRC when I was in the PSAP and I was like, wait. And I think back then, your manager, I think we've changed it, Katie, and I don't know because this is long before you and I. Back then, like I asked my manager if we could, you know, if we could get it. Like I think you had to go through, and every PSAP is different. You know, that could have just been my PSAP policy that we weren't allowed to like get our own sign-ons. We had to like get management approval. But I think it's so amazing. I mean, right? That's like why I wanted to come. Be a part of it. Just it's I'm speechless, which is rare because it's just that cool.
It really is. And so yeah. Stacey, you work with the non-PSAP aspect
yeah.
of it. And for folks who aren't familiar with, you know, the language PSAP, non-PSAP, PSAP is just, you know, like the 911 where 911 flooded. And
right.
those are communication centers, dispatch centers, law enforcement, fire, medical, you know, depending on what it looks like for your agency. And that's who Katie works with.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, you have non-PSAPs, people who are not answering 911 calls for
right.
things, but are still providing resources and services. Tell us a little bit yeah. about that, Stacey.
Sure. So our non-PSAP customers, clients are the people that have a need to reach out to 911, but like you said, aren't a PSAP. Like a great example would be telehealth providers and 988. For example, I think we've all become much more familiar with telehealth. I know it's my preferred method. And a lot of times people will call telehealth, for an example, like those are the people that should call 911, right? They're like, oh, I think I'm having a heart attack. And they
yeah.
reach out to telehealth because they don't want to bother anybody.
Yeah.
And if like telehealth determined they needed an ambulance, well, now we're back to maybe telehealth is in Nebraska and this mm-hmm. customer or, you know, the telehealth client is in another state. And how would they know how to get an ambulance person? You know, maybe they're like, we've determined your symptoms, you need an ambulance. Like, do you have somebody that can drive you to the hospital? Or you need, you know, what, I obviously don't know what their,
I'm sure
they have, you know, essentially, you know, checks and balances they go through. But that's just a great example of a customer that would use the, they have a legitimate need to be able to contact a PSAP on that 24/7 number, you know, to get somebody help from 911 where that person can't dial 911 and they're that unusual call transfer. All of our non-PSAP users, they're all bound by an licensing agreement, which limits the use of the data. So I know that's a common question PSAPs have. It's like, is my data still safe and secure? And they're all vetted by NINA. You know, they have to have that legitimate reason for needing to contact the PSAP because that data is precious and we do protect it. And they're all vetted by us and bound by that licensing agreement, which limits their use of the data.
And actually, one of the really exciting things about our new 2.0 update that we're doing, that we're launching on Monday, I had mentioned before, is that we have actually separated what they're able to view in the portal. So those non-PSAP users have a very scaled back, limited view of what,
just what they need,
what they can see. So we've determined that what the PSAPs need is a lot more comprehensive than what a non-PSAP user might need. So some of the non-PSAP users are 98, telehealth, railroads, pipelines, like people that may have emergencies all over the country, but it just by calling 911. They need basically phone number to the PSAP, name of the PSAP. It's really quite scaled back from what you can see today.
And you know, and that is, you know, one thing when we talk about new tech and even as basic as a database to find where we need to send people, that is something that callers have questions about, dispatchers have questions about. It's just like, I think an example is, you know, when we're talking about bringing like the FaceTime aspects into our centers, right? It's just like, how are we protected? You know, so the fact that NINA recognized, you know, that in this protecting the PSAPs and is launching this new layer to this on Monday in order to, you know, provide need to know, right to know, you know, type of situation with the non-PSAPs.
And I think everybody that approaches us, we also can determine if that's not a good fit, right? Like we, it's not, you know, we want to provide this for what it's intended for, not just for anybody that asks that wants to participate. You know, it really is, you know, and I think there's, I think like with any business, right? Like, I mean, that's really how you should, I mean, we're not a business, but when you're, you know, everybody should, it should, it needs to be a fit for both sides. You know, we're not, just trying to get, you know, offer something to everyone. It has to be, we have to see it as a fit for their needs as well.
Awesome. And so, you know, how does a center gain access to it? You know, everyone's listening like, oh my gosh, this is a real thing. How do I link up with NINA to get a login, to get a demo?
We expect our email to blow up.
That is correct.
I hope it does. So like, what's really great is that you don't have to, I mean, unless there is a center policy that dictates you shall only, you know, request access for things. We welcome anyone requesting access. You can be a telecommunicator. You can be a dispatch supervisor. If you're the PSAP manager, all the better. Let's talk and make sure your information's up to date too, because we want to know that people can reach you to get emergency services in your community. So we just ask that people email us. If you go to www.nina.org/EPRC, there's a tab on that page that says, you know, how to request PSAP access. And it lists the information that we need. And to just send us an email with those pieces of information. And then you'll either get an email back from Stacy or I with your, you know, some generic information on what to do next when you get your credentials. The email comes from notifications@arcgis.com. Geocom is our vendor, and they process all of those user requests after Nina or after Stacy and I go through, you know, because we also vet the dispatcher's requesting access, right? Mm-hmm. So like, we're not just vetting other people. This is, you know, this just isn't public. You know, we don't allow just anyone to email us from any, mm-hmm. any, you know, organization. So they have to.
And I just wanted to add, because for all your dispatchers listening, and I'm sure Ashley, you'll agree with this. What else are we in dispatch? Detectives, right?
Oh, yeah.
So don't try to pull the wool over, because we're you can't email
us. We're just
going to
see. We're going to see how many of us we can slip through there. You know,
yeah, Stacey and I did not take our detective hats off when we left. Like, are you stalking? I'm stalking. Are we looking you, me? Who's doing this right. one?
Yeah. But I say that in jest, but also just, I mean, that's how committed we are to making sure that the people that reach out, you know, like if there's any, you know, and sometimes we might have to say, because, you know, there are some centers that don't have like a center domain for their
like the organization email.
Yeah. You know, in some states we've seen. So like in those instances, you know, it might just take that extra step of us reaching out to verify that that is. You know, that I didn't just say, oh, can I get, you know, StaceyMiller@gmail.com? Can I get a sign off? I'm from, you know, Ashley's app when I'm not. So,
yeah,
we have those detective hats on.
Awesome. So good. So they head to nina.org/EPRC. They fill out the information. You guys vet them. And then they get an email back with their logins and things of that nature. If a PSAP is wanting to kind of do like a training or a session for their entire center, so everyone's familiar with all the tools that are inside this system, is that something you guys provide as well?
Yes. So we'll do a virtual demo if they have like we had block trainings, you know, twice a year at the PSAP I came from. Mm-hmm. You know, we can join in on that for 15 minutes to a half hour. That'll give us time to do a demonstration and probably field any questions that may come up. It might take a little longer than that, but 30 minutes is usually pretty adequate. One of the great things about the EPRCs is really intuitive. We recognize that people aren't going to use this every day. They may not even use it every week. So we wanted to make it as simple as possible. So yes, we will do trainings, but I think you're going to find that it's really simple and easy to use even without that. But also just a little, Stacey's going to be doing a demo in Texas at their public safety conference next month. So if you're in Texas and you're going to that, definitely drop in on for a session. And I will be at the Virginia State Conference in May doing a demo and a session on the EPRC at that one.
Awesome. Very cool.
And then obviously we'll be at our big conference in June. And I was just going to say, you know, like this is what we do, right? If you see Katie and I like at a conference, even if we're not doing a session or something, grab us. Like we will.
I want to say, Katie, you were at Nina across from my booth, like the moment staring at you. I'm like, I swear.
We were booth neighbors.
Yeah. Yes, we were booth neighbors.
Yeah. I actually have your stickers. I've got your stickers on my computer.
Aw, awesome. Very cool. Yeah. But it's just these conferences that's after I learned about EPRC, because you guys are our booth neighbors. So I went over there and talked to you, Katie. And then like the next couple, like a month later, I think my center got our access and all that. So I was like,
you're like, I know her. So like Stacey said, if you see us around, ask us about it, even if it's not at a session, you know. Mm-hmm. This is what we're completely dedicated to the EPRC. It's really our goal to make, you know, the EPRC, not necessarily like a household name, but a national PSAP name. We want people to be able to use this. We made it, when I say we, Nina built this for dispatchers. Yeah. You know, we do have other uses for it on a very limited basis, but it is intended for and built for telecommunicators to help them in emergency call transfer situations. That's why it's free. We want to provide this resource. We're not charging people. I think that's one of the most exciting things about my job is I'm like, I'm not selling you anything. I'm just telling you about something that's really, really cool.
I'm just trying to give you a login, you know.
This is a giveaway. That's my job, is like giving this away for free.
And you know what's amazing about that, and you know, I don't think we highlight enough, is that, you know, things like this that are created with the dispatcher, for the dispatcher, with knowledge of what we deal with, is more rare, which shouldn't be so rare, but is, you know, because there is a lack of knowledge and understanding to the masses, you know, even tech companies that are making stuff for us, there's a gap, right? And what the world that we really work in dispatch in. So there's a gap in the tech, there's a gap in the access of how useful this stuff is really when you put it into the center. And the fact that you guys are, you know, over 40 years of experience put together in PSAPs, have an understanding, you know, the NENA is the 911 association. So it's for dispatchers, you know, that piece, I believe, is so valid and really matters. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, I've used this system before, and it is intuitive, Katie, as you mentioned, and it really is something that dispatchers can really easily use to help someone who needs to get to a different location for those services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about how, you know, we talked about different levels of CAD and technology and stuff. And what I've told people is, if you can validate an address in CAD, you can definitely use the EPRC.
Yeah, it's 1,000%. I like that. Yeah. Well, what is anything else you guys are wanting folks to know about the EPRC, or that we haven't covered, that we haven't, you know, talked about?
I think the only thing that I would like leave with dispatchers is, if you're already using this, great. Tell somebody about it who's not using it. Tell somebody about it who has never heard of it. You know, share it. Like, we're all about, you know, like working together, supporting the 911. Help each other with this kind of thing. You know, share it in your Facebook groups or your whatever, Instagram groups. Just
well, and if you have a cool story about how you use the EPRC, like, please tell us about it, because I mean, we get a lot of fulfillment about just sharing it, but I think when other people hear those stories, it really resonates. I mean, it's cool, right? Who doesn't love the same story? I mean, then it just makes it more real, right? Than me saying, I'm talking to Katie and I have a stroke. I mean, I think that a safe story is just, I love it. So if anybody has a safe story.
And we've heard a couple. We've heard a couple, but we'd love
to hear. And they are
It makes your hair tingle, like on the back of your head. Like when you hear these things, it's just, it's really exciting because, you know, it's possible that in some situations they would have figured out where these folks were. They would have been able to, but also it's really highly possible that they would not have been able to get this person the help that they needed without the EPRC.
And time matters. Seconds matter. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. When we're talking to medical emergency, right? I mean, I always use the example of stroke because I feel like it's so, like, I mean, right. I did medical. And so if you EMD or medical, right? I think you did too, Katie, right? Like, you know, there's really only, I mean, as much as like when you're experiencing any type of medical emergency, it's an emergency to you, but there's really only a handful of true time sensitive medical emergencies defined by medical standards. And so in those situations, I mean, if you're Googling a phone number versus the EPRC.
Yeah, and then you Google a phone number and you're not sure. You're like, maybe, you know, like
a business line.
Maybe.
How many times have you gotten a bad phone number? I mean, sometimes you do. You can look those phone numbers up, but you can take something that would take you 10 minutes looking it up in Google, like Stacy said, turn it into 10 seconds in the EPRC. It's a matter of typing an address and hitting the enter button. That's it.
Awesome. Such a cool service. Like you said, for the free, we know dispatch centers, budgets are real. You know, upgrading tech is expensive. And this is a free service that NENA's providing. And
And it's not like something you have to set up, right? I mean, Katie told you, just give us that email. And within, you know, 5 business days, you're going to have access. There's nothing to download, or web-based, you know, there's nothing set up, download equipment. We don't need a rack.
Yeah.
For PSAP managers out there.
Well, and I think I would say one last thing for the managers and the supervisors that are reluctant to sign up for one more thing and get one more password. And, you know, it's just a tool. You know, this isn't required. So if you're worried about whether they use it or not, give them the choice. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to sign in. We're not requiring it. I mean, I think there are some states that do actually have use of the EPRC written into their PSAP policies. But if you're on the fence about it, just give them the choice, give them the option.
I like that. You know, when it's especially, again, we're going to reiterate, when it's a free tool, you know, you have a choice to use it or not. And I agree, Katie. There are a lot of things that we don't have choice in this line of work. We talk about policy, we talk about following certain standards, we talk about medical, and you got to ask the question the exact way it's written.
Right.
So when we can provide options, you know, to dispatchers, I think it's helpful. It feels good. You know, like if I get the choice to use this tool or not. And I think most people who are hesitant for change, when they're given the option and they dive into it a bit and they play around in it, they'll see it as intuitive. It is an easy tool to access and use. And that annoyance that we get with adding another login or, you know, adding another tool will go away because it seems how easy it is to access. It only makes our job easier in the tough situations. So, and then for folks who do have a story of success for the EPRC, where can they send that to? Can they send you an email or how can they get that story over to you folks?
So we have a group email that'll come to all of us. So 911EPRC@nina.org.
Perfect. And I'll include all that in the show notes, as well as the nina.org/EPRC link. And we'll do a bunch of other little promoting to get the word out on our channel as well.
We love it.
Well, the last question that I ask everyone who comes onto the show is, what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in dispatch? Whoever wants to go first.
I would say give yourself grace, right? Like if you're considering it, don't let the scary stories push you away if you're considering it. But also recognize when you're doing it, you know, that if it's challenging, if it's not for you, that's okay too. And there's other ways you can contribute. You know, I think when I started, it's an amazing career. I was a single mom twice during my career, and I was able to do that because of my pay and my benefits and all that. So it is an amazing career. Mm-hmm. But it's not without its challenges, right? So if it's not for you, or if after 10 years, you say, this is amazing, like I contributed 10 years, but you know, I'm pretty open about my wellness. I think we probably talked about it, like PTSD, you know, PTSI, like that's okay if that happens to you. And if it's healthy for you to have to leave, there's other ways you can contribute. And don't like feel like you didn't bring a ton of value to what you were doing. So that's my advice.
That's amazing. Thank you, Stacey. Katie?
Yeah, I think I would have a similar, Stacey and I have actually talked about this a lot. So I would have a similar message. You know, if you think that it's interesting, check it out, give it a try. If it's not for you, it's not for you. You know, we talk about how rigorous the training program is. You know, it is hard. Like, go into it with your eyes wide open. There are a lot of resources that exist today that didn't exist 20, 15 years ago that inform people what the job is. You know, there's a lot of, like you, Ashley, with this, what you're doing, like tell people what the job is, tell them what it's like. Check those things out, really go in with your eyes wide open, but also it's okay if it's not for you. And if you get in there and you decide you want to give it 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, like that's okay if you want to leave. Because like Stacey said, it's still value added. You've still saved lives and you've still contributed to the 911 community. And I would, the 25 years or the lifers, like that's not for everybody. And I think that that's not talked about enough.
I agree. Stacey, did you have any more?
Oh, just 100%. I think Katie just hit the nail on the head there. It's not talked about enough. You know, I think that wellness, we do talk about it a lot more. Like, we didn't talk about wellness when I started, probably not even when you started, Katie, right? And it not wasn't talked about as much.
A little, but not as much, no.
And I think it's, you can't take care of and do the job well forever if you aren't taking care of yourself. I mean, it really is, you know. One little thing I always like to say, though, is like everybody brings their individual experience and their individual triggers and whatnot. So also, like, what might be a hard call for me, Katie might not have a reaction to, and that's okay too, right? Like, we don't want to swing the pendulum so far the other way that we think something's wrong with someone if what a tough call for me isn't a tough call for them, because you bring your personal experience. And I think that it's so awesome how much we talk about wellness. I think there's so many facets to it that we're always coming up with new ways to talk about wellness and like what is, you know, everybody's triggers. So a lot to be done there, I think.
Yeah, 1,000%. And we, you know, we talk about needing more dispatchers, and we want folks to be happy in this career. But if you only going to give 2, 3, 4, 5 years, that's amazing. You know, and I agree with you, folks, that we need to validate that a little more, because for those 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you're decreasing our staffing shortage, and you know, spending that long at any job is you know, this day and age is a long time,
right?
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with leaving after X amount of time. Like, we do need to normalize that. We need to talk about that. When this is no longer for you, when you can no longer do this thing, bow out, and we appreciate your time with us. That's my personal perspective.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome, cool. Ladies. I so appreciate you guys coming onto the show, sharing this awesome tool with dispatchers. Again, free. definitely check out nina.org/EPRC. I'm going to throw all that information in the description of the video, so don't feel like you need to write it down. And of course, Katie, Stacy, thank you both so much.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.
Awesome. I'll be right back with you guys.
All right, take care.
Oh, taking three people out. You gotta push all these buttons. Thank you, Stacy, Katie, so much for coming onto the show, talking about this awesome resource that Nina is providing to dispatch centers. It is definitely a tool that is free, that is accessible. I've used it, and it is very helpful when someone is trying to get help for someone who is not in your general area, especially out of state. So again, check out nina.org/EPRC, free resource, shoot them an email, and they'll be able to get you a login after they do their detective work, of course. As always, thank you all so much for tuning in. Check out the raspydispatcher.com for all of our resources, all of our merch. If you're interested in coming onto the show, you can pick a date and time that works for you there. Until next time, everybody, stay raspy. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Dispatch podcast. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you're interested in becoming a guest on the show, or maybe even submitting your own story, you can do all that and more at theraspydispatcher.com. Until next time.